Turn to Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. And I'm going to ask you this morning, if you would. Please don't get up, move around, talk, goof off. Listen, I understand emergency, but if you can, please, just I'm going to preach short, okay? There's one young lady that said if I preach short, she's going to run, all right? So y'all get ready for it. There's a young man supposed to shout. I think they was kidding a little bit, but I'm not planning on preaching on very long. But if you'll listen real close, I've got a message I believe God's put on my heart. And I don't want no interruptions, if you will. Mind the Lord and let the Lord work in your heart today, okay? Romans chapter number 10, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Romans 10, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved."
Amen. Amen, God.
Paul said, "For I bear them a record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend to the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." Here's the word. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. But the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd bless the reading, the preaching of your word today. Use it, Lord, as only you can. I pray, God, for the holy unction and anointing of the Holy Spirit of God today as we preach. God, use the word of God to do your work for your sake and for your glory. Save that soul that's near his table. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Many years ago, several years ago now, I was asked to preach over in Roaring River. I believe that was the name of the community. Roaring River, North Carolina. If I got the name right, you go over to Grandfather Mountain and hang a right and zigzag and zigzag and zigzag, and you'll find Roaring River just on the edge of the North Carolina and Tennessee border. Well, I was supposed to be there. I believe it was at 7 o'clock. And I called, and the pastor gave me directions and said, "When you see the Grandfather Mountain sign, said take a right. Go to the end of that road, and you'll come to a stoplight, take another right, and you'll come down yonder, and you'll see the road you need to be at, wherever." They didn't tell me there were two Grandfather Mountain signs. So I turned at the first one. I went to the end of the road. I took a right. I zigzagged and zigzagged, and I went over a mountain, and I zigzagged, zigzagged, come to the bottom of the mountain. And I've come to some place that I didn't even know existed. What's the name of it? Valley Cruz. There you go. Something like that. I says, "I don't know where I'm at. I better call somebody." And this is before the fancy cell phones come out. I whipped out my flip phone.
Amen.
Amen. And I said, "We got a problem, Houston. There's no service in Valley Cruz. This is not on the map." I said, "The best thing I can do is zigzag back to the top of the mountain and find some service." And I zigzagged and I zigzagged and I zigzagged until I got way back up to the stoplight, and I still didn't have much service. And I called one man and he said, you ain't nowhere near where you're supposed to be. And finally I got a hold of the pastor who I'd been trying to call. It's now well past 7 o'clock. And he says, I got a guy you need to talk to. And after two or three times calling him and losing him, the guy says, where are you at? And I told him. He said, you turned at the wrong sign. There's another road up there with a sign at the Grandfather Mountain entrance with the Grandfather Mountain sign. He said, if you'll go down to that road. He said, you're about 45 minutes away, but we'll wait on it. Needless to say, I walked in, they quit singing, and I started preaching without much of a welcome. Long before the days of what we call a GPS. A GPS would have been very helpful in that day and age. A GPS is a device that's used to give direction and to help you from getting lost at times. A GPS, we know, is called a global positioning system. Works off of satellites. And nowadays, you don't even have to buy one. You got one on your cell phone, and it'll help you most of the time. I have had times when I used one that was on a telephone and I tried to get somewhere and I tried to take a group of people that some of y'all know what I'm talking about. We tried to go to a barbecue shack to eat some barbecue one day and we wound up in a playground of an elementary school. Anybody know what I'm talking about, Brother Dwight? And we blamed it on the GPS. You know why? Because we were dependent on something to tell us to get somewhere, but it gave us the wrong direction. Are you listening to me? And this morning, I want to preach on God's GPS. God's GPS. You see, when we read here in the book of Romans that Paul had a desire for his people, his brethren, the nation of Israel, and his desire was that they might be saved. The word S-A-V-E-D, saved. Saved is the diametric opposite of being lost. To be lost is to be in a state where I don't know where I am and I really don't know where I'm going. But to be saved is to be delivered and to be put on the right path. When we think about being saved, we think about being saved. Naturally, we think of being saved from hell. Because the Bible says that those that are lost and those that don't know Christ, when they die, they're going to a place of everlasting judgment and eternal damnation. It's called the lake of fire. We think about being saved from the penalty of sin. We think about being saved from the power of sin. We think about one day we'll be saved from the presence of sin. And Paul had a desire that his brethren in the flesh would be saved. I have a desire today that every last one of you sitting on the sound of my voice would leave here today and say that I know that I'm saved. We like that old song, I believe it's 346 in the Red Book, I know my name is there. Can I say to you, you don't have to go out of this church building today hoping that you're saved, wishing that you were saved, wondering if you're saved, but you can leave out of here today knowing that you're saved. You say, how can you know that? Because God has given us a GPS. Amen. He's given us a way to direct our path, and He's given us a way to teach us and to show us a clear way that you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt. Listen, not on what a preacher said, not on what a denomination said, not on what an organization said, not on what a committee said, but based upon what the Word of God says, how you can know that you know that you know that you're saved and that you're on your way to heaven when you close your eyes in death or when Jesus comes in the rapture. You see, there are only two classes of people here today. You are either saved or you're lost. You're either saved or you're lost. I was having lunch this week with a fellow pastor and we were discussing some things and we both agreed upon this one common thing. And I'm afraid that we're right. I believe that there are many people who have grown up in our churches. They have gone through the system. They have learned the way of the church. They can quote a lot of verses. They know how to go to church, so to say. But genuinely, personally, they have never experienced what we call conversion or salvation. You see, there are many who know the rules, but they have never had a relationship with Jesus Christ. There are many who know the list, and I mean the do's and the don'ts. We don't drink and we don't chew and we don't run with those who do, the list. But they don't know the Lord. Are you listening to me? There are many that come to the church. And they sit in the church building, but they are not in Christ. They are on the roll of the church, but they're not on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. They may have turned over a new leaf in life, but they have never experienced new life in Christ. They may have been rehabbed and reformed, but they have never been regenerated by the Holy Ghost. You may be here this morning and be religious, but you may be lost. Jesus spoke of these type people in Matthew chapter number 7. And He said, many, not a few, but many, He said, was going to be in that day that are going to say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out devils in Your name? Did we not do many wonderful works? And Jesus said, He was going to say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the truth of the matter is that your salvation today is not based upon what you do. Your salvation is based upon what Christ has already done. There's an extreme difference, and you need to understand that today. You see, many are following the wrong directions, and they're lost. They're going to wind up at the wrong destination thinking they were headed in the right way. Much like I wound up in Vera Cruz, whatever that is. I don't know if I can find it again. Are you listening to me? Or they may have directions. They may have something leading them, but it's leading them in the wrong way. And instead of winding up in the playground, they're going to wind up in a place called hell. And they're going to wake up one day, they're going to lift their eyes at the torments of hell, and they're going to say, but that preacher said, or but that church said, or but my mama said, but my mama and my papa said. Can I help you? I love mama and papa. I love the preacher. I love the church. But what matters today is what did God's Word say? How many is interested in knowing that I know that I know I want to know today that when I die, close these eyes in death, that I'm going to wake up in a better place? See, a lot of times we go to funerals and people say they're in a better place. I will never reassure you. I cannot tell you. If my wife dies, as much as I love her and as humble and as loving as she is, I can't guarantee you she's in a better place. But I can guarantee you, based upon her profession, the Lord Jesus Christ, that she went to a better place. Because her relationship with God is between her and God. My relationship, none of you can stand there and guarantee that the preacher's saved. Right. Jesus said there's going to be many of them that preach that weren't saved. Right.
Amen.
Not trying to confuse you this morning. I'm trying to tell you it's time to do some soul searching. And you need to find out what you're basing your salvation on. The direction you're headed, where you're headed, are you basing your location and your destination upon the right way? You see, many, listen, here's some ways that people may follow, some directions, there's some GPSs, if you will, that gives direction that people think that they're going to do these things and live according to this, and this will get them to heaven. How about keeping the law and the commandments? Well, we just read where verse 4 said, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Keeping the law of the Ten Commandments. Some people say, well, if I give to charity, there's a lot of people that are very generous. I know some people that are very generous, but they're lost. Matter of fact, to be honest with you, I hate to say it, but some of the most generous people that have ever been to me, personally, they're lost as a ball in high weeds. But they're generous. Can I tell you this morning, your generosity won't get you to heaven. Some people think that they're going to do good or they're going to do their best. The old song says, I'm doing my best to make it in. Doing your best is not going to get you in. You say, my good works. Some people say, well, I'm going to keep the golden rule. Some people say, well, I tithe and I give to the church. That's well and good. All these things are well and good. But none of these things are what is required for you to be saved. Some people say, well, I'm going to heaven because of my church membership. You can be a charter member of every church in the county and die and go to hell. Some people say, well, I'm faithful to church. You ought to be faithful to church. But being faithful to church doesn't earn you a spot in heaven. Some people say, well, I pray. Luke 18, there was a Pharisee that went down and he prayed, but he wasn't saved. He was dignified, but he was lost. Some people say, well, I fast. You're starving yourself without a cause. Some people say, well, I've been baptized in the water. The water, and listen, the water doesn't wash away your sin. Heard a bunch of dumb country songs and even some dumb gospel songs been written about, I'm going down to the water and washed away my sin. The water doesn't wash away your sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing, absolutely nothing but the blood. Amen. Communion. I would take communion. I take the Lord's Supper. There are so-called churches, assemblies today, get together and they'll take up the Lord's Supper every time they go to service because they think that's part of them being saved. Well, I was born into a Christian family, preacher. Mama and Papa was Christians and Mom and Daddy was Christians and we just always raised in church. One of the most dangerous places you can be raised is church. Are you listening to me? I don't mean that wrongfully. The best place you can be raised is church, but one of the most dangerous places. I know children that have grown up in church, Christian school, they've been hidden from the world, they've been separated, but they've never had an opportunity. And I'm not saying to let them run to the world, but they've never had an opportunity to ever realize they were lost. Right. One of the most dangerous places. It's the safest place, but it's a dangerous place. Right. Be raised in a Christian home. Because a lot of church kids grow up, and they never drank, and they never smoked, and they never cussed, and they never went to the places. And they think, well, we don't do all those things, so we're going to heaven. You say, preacher, I don't think that you'd be surprised. The countless hundreds, yea, thousands of people sit on church pews every week. Young people going to Bible colleges. Because that's what they know. That's the way they were raised. That was their culture. But they never genuinely experienced Holy Ghost salvation. Jesus said in John 3:6, He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. In other words, Jesus said to Nicodemus, it doesn't matter if you're born in a Christian family, a Jewish family. Doesn't matter what. If you're born in the flesh, you're born into a fleshly family. But Jesus said, you need to be born again spiritually into the family of God. There's a lot of people that have based their going to heaven on their confirmation because a church or a pastor confirmed them and prayed over them and said some words over them and put their name on the roll. Some people say, well, I'm going to pay penance. You don't have enough money to buy your way in. The price has already been paid. Hallelujah. Say, preacher, how can you base and say that all those things are false ways. Preacher, I'm counting on one of those things. I'm counting on being a good person and doing good works. Preacher, I'm counting on water baptism. I'm counting on being confirmed. Or I'm counting on praying. I'm counting on a lot of things that you just mentioned. And I think that's why I'm going to heaven. Let me read you a few verses out of the Scriptures, if you will. Romans 3:28. Therefore we conclude. In other words, here's the conclusion. That a man is justified. That word justified has to be saved. By faith, without the deeds of the law. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, if you could be good enough to get to heaven, you could brag and you could say, look how good I've been. Look what I did to get to heaven. It's not what you did. It's what Christ has already done. You need to understand that when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, He hung there and He said, it is finished. He didn't say it was started. He said it was finished. Redemption's plan was complete. Romans 11:6 says, and if by grace, then no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, there is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. In other words, you either saved by works or grace. Which is it? You're saved by grace. You say, well, preacher, I got baptized. Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But the end of that verse says, but he that believeth not shall be damned. It didn't say he that is baptized not. The thief on the cross wasn't baptized. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Right. Are you listening to me? Amen. There have been many people who weren't baptized, and I believe baptism is important. It's the first step of obedience. If you've been saved, you need to be baptized. Amen. But baptism does not save you. Right. Are you listening?
Amen.
Baptism does not save you. I've talked to many people. Are you saved? Do you know you go? Oh yeah, I got baptized. I don't care where you got. You can get baptized in every creek, know every tadpole in the state by name. But you're going down a dry center, coming up a wet center if you hadn't been saved. Are you listening to me? Romans 4:5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted unto him for righteousness. So what's your righteousness? It's your faith in Jesus Christ. John 1:11-12. You said, preacher, I've been born into a good family. I want to know, have you been born into the family of God? Because Jesus said he came into his own. That's his own people, the Israelites, the Jews. He came into his own and his own received him not. Remember, they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. They didn't want him. But he said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Watch this. Even to them that believe on his name. How do you become a son of God? By believing on his name. Matthew 15:9, Jesus said, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. There are many people sitting in churches going through religious ceremonies this morning. They're paying penance. They're taking communion. They're being baptized. They're going through a lot of rituals. But Jesus said, that in vain they worship me because they're teaching doctrines and the commandments of men. Acts 13:39, the Bible said, and by Him, that is Jesus, by Him all that believe are justified from all things from which He could not be justified by the law of Moses. You see, the law could not do anything but show you that you had a need. The Bible says the law is our schoolmaster, bringing us to the point to where we realize that we need salvation. The law shows me that I am not perfect. When you look at the law, you realize there ain't no way. So I keep the Ten Commandments. You just told a lie right there and broke the law. Ain't nobody ever kept the Ten Commandments except Jesus Christ. You old man sitting in here and you tell me you ain't never had lust in your heart toward a woman, you're a liar. So you've lusted and you've lied. You ever cheated on a test in school? You're a thief. Well, I ain't never cheated. You're a liar. You ever stuck your hand in a cookie jar when mama said not to put your hand in the cookie jar? Some of y'all listening to, come on now. What I'm trying to tell you is we're all sinners. Amen. John 3:36, Jesus said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You say, well, I'm going to get to heaven this way. I'm going to get to heaven this way. I'm going to get to heaven this way. I'm going to do this. And there's people that say, well, I'm going to go this way. And there's even so-called preachers that say, well, you can come many different ways. Well, I got news for you. I believe that was settled a long time ago. 2,000 years ago, there's a man named Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And in John 14:6, Jesus said this. He said, I am the way, the truth,
amen,
the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus didn't say, I'm one of the ways. He didn't say, I'm the best way. He didn't say, I'm a good way. He didn't even say, I am a way. Jesus said, I am the way. Are you listening to me? I'm trying to help you. I'm talking about God's GPS. The only way to get you to heaven. The only way. It's not in your church membership. It's not in you doing good. It's not in you being a good person. It's not in you being generous. It's not in being baptized or reading the Bible or even praying. Do you know Jesus personally? Has there ever been a time and a place where you called upon the name of the Lord and was saved? Old Curtis Hudson years ago was a preacher. He said before he was pastor and he was working he was at the post office, and one day they was discussing with some people there how to get to a certain place in the city, and somebody said, well, you can go this way and go over and take a right and a left and go down here and zigzag and you wind up over there. And then somebody said, well, you can also go this way. And the woman said, well, that's kind of like, you know, that's the way you're going to heaven is. You can go this way and, you know, you can go this way. He said, wait a minute, lady. He said, we're not talking about going to the post office. We're talking about going to heaven. And there's only one way to get to heaven. And Jesus said he was the way. Are you listening to me? He's the way. So why is it? Let me say just a few things about God's GPS and I'll be done. God's plan of salvation. That's God's GPS. God's plan is this. It's a plan of salvation. What was his desire in verse 1? That they might be saved. What a desire to be saved. If you're here today and you say, I'm not sure I'm saved, God's desire is for you to be saved. The Bible said, 2 Peter 3:9, Jesus said, the Lord is not slack in his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus said, come unto me. All you that are weary. And he said, I'll give you rest. The invitation is come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. God's desire is for you to be saved. Paul had a passion for his people to be saved. God gave a promise in verses 9 and 10. Look in verse 9 and 10 of our text. Look at God's promise with me. Here's the promise. That if thou shalt confess. Preacher, what do I have to do to be saved? Right here it is. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. What's the next phrase say? Thou shalt be saved. Does it say thou might be? Does it say thou could be? Does it say it's possible? No, it says thou shalt be saved. There's a promise, isn't it not? Verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, not with his body he works unto righteousness, but with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, he said, confession is made unto salvation. Look at verse 13. Here's another part of that promise. For whosoever. Here's God's promise. For whosoever. Let me ask you a question. What does whosoever mean? Could you put your name there? Could you? Everybody read that verse with me and put your name there. For Travis. Read out loud and read your own name. For Travis. I want to hear some different names. See, for whosoever. He didn't say for a certain group. He didn't say for the white folk, or for the black folk, or for the Jewish folk, or for the rich folk, or for those that had it all together. He said, for whosoever, and here it is, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. What did Paul, the author that wrote this chapter, what did he do in Acts chapter number 9? He fell to his knees and he cried out, Lord, Lord, what will I have me to do? He cried out to the Lord. Peter, the priest on the day of Pentecost, hey, he's sinking and he cries, Lord, save me! The thief on the cross, what did he cry out? Lord! What I'm trying to say to you, and ask you to ask yourself this question. Has there ever been a time and a place where you personally made good of this promise that you personally called on the name of the Lord? There's a lot of people that's religious. There's a lot of people. I was in the doctor's office this week talking to a lady, and she's talking, oh, I know God, I know Jesus. And I say, listen, when you get saved, well, I wouldn't say I saved. I said, well, you know you can. She said, oh, I didn't know that. I said, ma'am, I'd like you to know today that you can know that you can be saved. And I shared the gospel with her and I gave her a gospel draft. I said, ma'am, you need to find you a place and you need to call on the name of the Lord. According to the Bible, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to hope so. You can know so. That's God's promise. Not only is God's GPS, God's plan of salvation, but it's God's plan that is scriptural. See, verse 2, Paul said they had zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. He said, I want you to know what the Bible said. Verse 3 said they were ignorant of God's right. There's a lot of people that sit in churches week after week, and they go through the rituals, but they're ignorant of what God said. God said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God said in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. That's what you need to know today. You need to know that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's scriptural. Scriptural. Look at verse 17. I didn't read it earlier. Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Are you listening? How do you get saved? You hear the Word of God. The Word of God, by the Spirit of God, speaks to your heart. And you respond to what the Word of God says. And you say, I believe what the Word of God says. I believe it when it says that Jesus loved me. I believe it when it says that God sent His only begotten Son. And I believe it that Jesus died for my sin. I believe that He was buried. I believe that on the third day He rose again. I believe that He did it according to the Scriptures. I believe He did it for me. And you call out on the name of the Lord. Because that's what the Bible says. And you say, Lord God, I'm a sinner. And I realize that. But I believe that Jesus died for my sin. And I'm asking you to come into my life and to save me. It's scriptural. Romans 3:10. You say, preacher, I'm a good person. Well, according to Romans chapter number 3 and verse 10, the Bible said, as it is written, there's none righteous. No, not one. Romans 3:23. The Bible says, excuse me just for a second, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, well, preacher, you just don't know me. I've never done anything wrong. Well, you just lied out of your teeth right there. For all have sinned. And you realize there's a lot of people that are going to hell because in their pride, they don't want to realize, they don't want to admit the fact that they've been a sinner. I thought for one not too long ago. Well, I haven't done anything wrong. Well, bless your heart. I mean, is your name Jesus? Are you listening to me? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes us all. And until you acknowledge that fact, you'll never be saved. Because in order for you to be saved, you've got to first realize that you are lost. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. I'm a sinner. I admit it. I realize I'm a sinner. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. That means that death comes into this world because of sin. And not only physical death, but the Bible in Revelation talks about the second death, which is the lake of fire. And because of my sin, I deserve to go to a place called the lake of fire and spend eternity. That's the second death. Doesn't sound too promising, does it? I tell you what I'd do today, if I wasn't sure I was safe, I'd find God's GPS. Amen. I want to know how to escape, but I don't want to wind up at the lake of fire. You're not going to be in Villa Cruz. You're going to be in the lake of fire. Are you listening? Romans 5:8 steps in and says, but God commended His love toward us that while we were sinners, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You can say, I'm an us. Christ died for me. Yep. Can I say to you, sir or ma'am, boy or girl, had you been the only one on the face of the earth that needed to be saved, Jesus would have died for you. He died for us. And so the end of Romans 6:23 says, the beginning said the wages of sin is death, but the end says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, I deserve death. I deserve the lake of fire. But because of what Jesus did at Calvary, because Jesus died in my place, if I will call upon the name of the Lord, hey, I can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And that's where we come to Romans 10:9-10, which we were just read. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said God's plan was a plan of salvation. I said it was the plan that was scriptural. I say this, it's the plan that's simple. It's so simple that many will miss it. Because many people think they have to do something. Preacher, I'm doing this. I've been this. I just want to know, has there ever been a time and a place where God shone in your heart? And you realize that you were lost. Has there ever been a time and a place where you, whether it was at an altar or in your bedroom, where it doesn't matter where you were, but has there been a time, has there been a place where you realize you were lost and you called on the name of the Lord and in repentance and faith asked God to save you? That's what matters. It's that simple. You say, preacher, that's too simple. That's why many will miss it. Many will miss it because they're going to do their best to get in. Not realizing that the best that we could do, all of our righteousness, is as filthy rags in God's sight. It's simple. It's so simple that Jesus said, suffer the little children. Let them come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Are you listening to me? You've got to become like a child. A little child, he simply trusts his daddy. You ever watch a little child? He'll be on a step, and daddy will say, come to me, I'll catch you. And the little child will lunge out to his daddy. You know why? Because he trusts his daddy. Amen. That's childlike faith. Amen. Now somebody else, a stranger, comes up and says, come to me. He doesn't trust him. It's not his daddy. God's saying, what I want you to do is be like a child. I want you to put all your faith. I want you to lunge out. I want you to trust me. I want you to come to me. Call on the name of the Lord. It's simple. Let me say this. It's sufficient. It's sufficient. You say, well, I call on the name of the Lord, but I got to, hold on. There's no other way to be saved. There's only one way. Jesus said, I'm the way. You say, well, I don't know. I don't know, preacher. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know who I've been with. You don't know all the things about it. It really doesn't matter. You know why? Because Jesus said in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth to me shall come unto me. And I like this. And he said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you'll come to Jesus, he will not cast you away. He will not cast you out. If you'll come to him by faith, throw away the pride. Throw away what everybody else thinks. Everything I have told you this morning, straight out of the Bible. Not my opinion. Not what I think. Not what the polls say. Not what the denomination says. Not what a committee come up with. Right out of the Bible, what God says, how you can know that you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt you can be saved. There's no other way. There is no other way. I like this song that was written years ago. It says, my faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and then he died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out. My heart is leaning on the Word, the written Word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name. Salvation through his blood. My great physician heals the sick. The lost he came to save. For me, his precious blood he shed. For me, his life he gave. It is enough that Jesus died, and then he died for me. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. Are you lost this morning? Do you need to be saved? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, heaven will be your home? I heard about a little boy one day. He was out in the country. Out on the side of a road. A businessman drove up, middle of the country, fancy car, nice suit, stops on the side of the road and sees the boy out there in the middle of nowhere. He says, son, do you know where such and such is? And he asked him where a certain community was. The boy says, nah, I don't know. He says, son, do you know where? And he asked him where a certain store was. He said, no, I don't know where that is. He says, boy, he said, I'm trying to find my way over to this town. He said, do you know where a certain road is? He said, no, I don't know where that's at. He says, son, you don't know a whole lot, do you? He says, I know better than you. He said, I know I ain't lost. I wonder if this morning you can say this. I might not know a lot about this. I might not know a lot about that. There's been a time and place where I've called on the Lord. He saved me. Amen. Because of what Jesus did at Calvary, I know that I'm not lost. Amen. It's not based on what you've done. It's not based on being a good person. It's not based on being baptized, giving money. It's based on what Jesus did. Heard about another little boy years ago. Let me back up and tell the story. There was years ago a younger pastor that asked an older pastor to come and preach in his pulpit. That older pastor got up and preached, and he began to tell a story about two young boys. And he said there were two young boys, and he said they were on a fishing boat with one of the boys' dad. And he said there came a storm, and somehow the two boys were swept off the side of the boat, and they were in the water. And the water was raging, and the daddy was trying to save them. But when he got to looking around, he only had one life buoy to throw out. There were two boys, and they were fixing to drown. And he said, He didn't know what to do. And one little boy cried out, which belonged to the dad. And he said, "Daddy, throw it to him. Throw it to him. Give it to him." And the daddy said he wrestled in his heart and he wrestled in his mind. And he said, "That's my boy. I want to save my boy. That's my boy that's going to die. But his best friend over here, he's going to die. If I save my boy, his best friend's going to die." And his son the whole time saying, "Throw it to him, Daddy. Throw it to him." The daddy said he wrestled in his heart and he threw it to his son's best friend. And he saved his best friend and he pulled him into the boat. But as he pulled the friend into the boat, he watched his own son go down into the waters and drowned. And the preacher said, as comparison, he was telling that story of how God sent his own son. And so you didn't have to die. You didn't have to perish. God let his own son die for you. And the pastor of the church got up and when the older gentleman was done preaching, and the pastor of the church got up and he said, "Congregation, I want you to know the story he told is a true story because his son was my best friend." He said, "I was the boy. God saved him. God called him to preach." He was pastor of the church. Can I tell you, as heart-wrenching as a story like that is, there is a God in heaven that loves you so much that 2,000 years ago He sent His own Son and He allowed His own Son to die for your sin, that if you would call on Him, you could be saved today. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray You take the message. I pray You use it according to Your will. Do for us what only You can do. Save souls. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're standing all across the auditorium. And as we stand,